of the Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today. I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell. Here are the headlines. Justice and book author Dr. Irvin Andre notes the moral stand taken by now deceased first Dominica Prime Minister Patrick Roland John years after he was out of office. United States President Joe Biden urged the private sector to help ease supply chain blockages that are threatening to disrupt sales during the American holiday season. And an off-duty New York City police officer is in custody after she allegedly shot two women, one of whom she was dating. She killed one when they returned to the home where the officer's girlfriend lived in Brooklyn. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments West Indies Communications Enterprise Limited. First up in the news, Justice and book author Dr. Irvin Andre has noted the moral stand taken by now deceased First Prime Minister of Dominica, Patrick Roland John, in not simply supporting the status quo years after he was out of office. Dr. Andre says maintaining control over one's self while in political power is a difficult feat, which can only be achieved when leaders place personal limits upon themselves to ensure they remain humble and transparent.
The whole question of power is a very complex and complicated matter. The whole question of power, particularly in a small island state of Dominica, imposes significant obligations on you. It induces significant frailties and vulnerability. We know that because we have today exhibits that indicate that you need a certain type of strength of character to deal with the issues that tend to pull you in many directions. You need to grapple with perhaps an obsession to become financially successful. And certainly that is a test that Patrick John passed with flying colors. You need to maintain a semblance of humility, a semblance of connectedness, a semblance that, quite frankly, irrespective of your station in life, you are still, or you should still regard yourself as a person, humble origin, filled and imbued with certain values, which should never be alienated from yourself. Was it not Bob Marley who said, you can run away, but you can never run away from yourself? Not for Patrick John, the inducements or the lapse of thighs of luxury in Macau. Not for him was the excessive life. Not for him was the obsession to acquire material property, material wealth.
Justice and book author Dr. Irvin Andre. APP political leader Tahira Blanchard has revealed what she claims are her party's general plans to significantly improve and revamp Dominica's economy from the CBI-based economy that is being promoted by the Dominica Labour Party administration. Blanchard categorically states that other engines of economic growth will be revitalized and the main revenue for Dominica will be derived from the agricultural sector. She states that, statistically, APP's approach toward economic development and livelihood advancement will greatly surpass that of the Skerrit administration's CBI-based economy. Blanchard states that details for each of their policies will be expounded upon and presented to the public in the near future.
Of course, we believe that there is a need to have a new economy that is built on new revenues, innovation, industries, agriculture, re-greening, neo-nature tourism, cannabis industrialization, youth entrepreneurship, public and private sector partnership, diaspora contributions, agro-processing, technologies, and social media exploitation, of course. As a party, we do plan to totally revamp Dominica's economy on an agricultural base and bring in new ideas to the table with widespread engagement of all sectors of the Dominican society, including and especially Dominicans in the diaspora. We will have a returning citizens investment initiative as well. These are just a few of the plans that we have as a party.
She added that the Returning Citizens Investments Initiative will greatly see the inclusion of the diaspora in aiding the advancement of the economy compared to the neglect being shown to them by the DLP administration currently.
As I mentioned, we do have a Returning Citizens Investment Initiative. And we believe that this type of program would target our Dominicans around the world who wish to return and invest in a new and innovative industry and in areas of commerce. And we believe that this will be used to help finance such projects. More Dominicans, of course, should be active and progressive participants in the Dominican economy. And we believe that as a party, we need to encourage our Dominicans to please come on board and let us do what we need to do together as a people to see our country progress.
Entrepreneur and APP leader, Tahira Blanchard. Today is observed globally as World Sight Day under the theme, open quote, love your eyes, end of quote, and is observed every second Thursday in October. It is a joint initiative between the World Health Organization and the International Agency for the Prevention of Blindness. The initiative seeks to raise public awareness on visual impairment, including blindness, as a major international public health issue, as well as influence governments, ministers of health, to participate in and designate funds for national blindness prevention programs and to educate target populations about blindness prevention. According to the WHO, globally about 2.2 billion people have vision impairment, which includes blindness, of which 1 billion can be prevented, with most of them being over 50 years old and living in low-income countries. In Dominica, the leading causes of preventable blindness are cataracts, refractive errors, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy. Dominicans are encouraged to do the four P's of good eye health, and that is prevent, protect, preserve, and prioritize. Prevent, this is adopting a healthy lifestyle of eating healthy and adopting healthy habits in general. Protect, protect your eyes from severe sunlight, workplace accidents, and prolonged exposure to digital screens. Preserve your vision. See that you set up eye examination schedules and do annual eye checkups. And prioritize. Ensure that eye examinations are part of your routine medical examination. Educate your family, loved ones, and the community on the importance of eyes and vision. World Sight Day requires the action of everyone and the government to reduce preventable vision impairment and blindness. Nurse consultant at Moorfields Eye Hospital, Adam Mapani, has more.
World Sight Day runs every second Thursday in the month of October as part of raising global awareness on visual impairment and blindness. It's also an opportunity to carry key health messages as part of advocacy and communication, raising the scale of the challenge. The world is faced with a growing population, giving rise to demands such as diabetic retinopathy, cataract. There are challenges in the provision of eye care, glaucoma as a disease, diabetic eye disease, retinitis, pigmentosa, all the various things as part of eye care. In the part of the world that I originate from, cataract is the leading cause of blindness, but yet this can be prevented. So it's about raising that awareness. It's about looking at ways of making things better. This year's World Sight Day in particular has a specific theme, Vision First. So Vision First comes with the responsibility for eye examination, making these available at every stage, and having the opportunity to reach out to the communities, especially those underserved communities that might not have been reached so far.
And that was Adam Mapani, a nurse consultant at Moorfields Eye Hospital. You're tuned in with Q95 News. Public Relations Officer of Jolly's Pharmacy and host of the Jolly's Health Vibes program, Carlton Lando, is sounding the alarm that cancer is now considered a non-communicable disease, which is growing in prevalence among the youth. He made that statement yesterday, October 13th, Pinktober Day, when cancer awareness is brought to light. Mr. Lando revealed that the lifestyle of the average youth, along with their diet, aids in the increased number of young cancer patients being diagnosed for cancer.
Cancer is now considered a chronic non-communicable disease. What really contributes to the prevalence of cancer is lifestyle. All lifestyles have changed immensely. I mean, look at the types of foods that we now eat. Look at the quality of the foods that are produced. We have become our own enemy. Mass production, everybody's greedy for money. The apple that you would have eaten or seen on a shelf in 1980 is a very different apple that's on the shelf now. The corned beef that you would have eaten after Hurricane David tastes totally different from the corned beef that you eat now. And the list goes on. So, I mean, if we just sit down and compare and contrast, factorizing as well, industrialization and modernization, has that made it any better? Our children are playing less, so therefore obesity is much higher. We spend more time indoors than outdoors these days. So we're not exercising. In times past, almost everybody had a little backyard garden in their homes. Now people prefer to pave their yards and maybe have a nice lawn and with lights on it. It's a lot of things. And that's why, you know, when we look at lifestyle and we look at wellness, it basically opens up the discussion as to what may be causing the rise in cancers, not just in Dominica, but the world by extension.
PRO of Jolly's Pharmacy and host of the Jolly's Health Vibes program, Carlton Lando. Minister for National Security and Home Affairs in Dominica, the Honorable Rayburn Blackmore, says the Dominica Police Force Coast Guard unit plays a critical role in the safety and security of the island. The Coast Guard unit jetty suffered extensive damage from the passage of Hurricane Maria and subsequent weather systems. This is why, he says, there have been efforts by the government through the Ministry of National Security in collaboration with the police to rehabilitate the jetty at the Coast Guard unit.
This rehabilitation project is being undertaken by a local company, namely Island Roofing and Hardware, at a cost of $2.1 million. It is very important to note that this jetty, upon completion, will boast reinforced concrete frames and a new railing and ramp to facilitate access to persons with disability or persons with limited mobility. We all know Dominica is an island surrounded by water, and it goes without saying that defending our borders is defending it by sea. Therefore, part of this defense is the effectiveness of the police Coast Guard unit and its ability to launch and harbor boats and conduct proper sea and coastal patrols. Therefore, a jetty is pivotal to achieving these goals.
National Security Minister, the Honorable Rayburn Blackmore. The Partnership Initiative for Sustainable Land Management, PISLM, hosted a national symposium on land use via Zoom with participating representatives, United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, the Ministry of Blue and Green Economy, Agriculture and National Food Security, the Ministry of Environment, Rural Modernization and Kalinago Upliftment, and partner agencies including local farmers. Now, as part of the PISLM project, Sustainable Land Management Project Officer in the Commonwealth of Dominica, Annie Edwards, was engaged as the land use consultant to develop a comprehensive land use plan for the five parishes in which the project is being implemented. That is St. David, St. Patrick, St. Paul, St. Joseph, and St. George. The project is funded by the Global Environment Facility, GEF, implemented by the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, and executed by the PISLM. The project's objective is to establish landscape level planning, information and coordination frameworks to support sustainable agriculture and sustainable watershed management in Dominica. The Forestry, Wildlife and Parks Division and the Division of Agriculture are the key institutions to benefit from this project, as well as 30 farmers across the five parishes who will participate in the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture, ICA, lead pilot for sustainable land management measures and capacity building related to agricultural production. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Blue and Green Economy, Agriculture and National Food Security, Dr. Kira Paul, indicated that the land use plans are critical to inform the ministry's plans in creating a roadmap to transform the agricultural sector in Dominica.
This for us is particularly important because we are now in the process of getting a new national agriculture policy approved that would help to ensure that agriculture remains one of the top economic activities of the country, economic drivers. But also too, we are working on a transformation roadmap that it will essentially transform the sector. So that those land use plans are very critical as we go about thinking of specific actions.
Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Blue and Green Economy, Agriculture and National Food Security, Dr. Kira Paul. Meanwhile, Executive Director of PISLM, Calvin James, stated that the projects are not being implemented in isolation, but forms part of a Caribbean network of projects that will aid in building leverage for decision makers to conduct in-country works related to mitigation of land degradation practices.
We are not looking at these projects in isolation, meaning that it's part of a Caribbean network of projects that we are hoping can be used to build leverage to help the PS, for example, to do a lot of work in country. Right now, we are in the process of launching a Caribbean-wide exercise called Soil Care. I know Dominica has been doing a lot of work in terms of soil and soil profile, but many of the island states have not been able to keep their soil maps updated. And so that exercise is going to roll out from November across 8 countries. And this is just phase one. And so we are hoping that we can use this platform that Annie has built for us to get Dominica inserted into phase two, which is going to be crucial to create for the first time. Dominica has just completed its land degradation neutrality target setting process. This is an obligation under the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. And we are happy to announce that Dominica has completed that mapping exercise. So now Dominica has an idea where the hotspots are and can now target resources to dealing with some of those hotspots. And indeed, there's an early indication that Dominica will join the rest of the Caribbean in a large project called the Caribbean LDN Transformative Project, which I believe the work that Annie has done can tie into that. It's about 10 million US per country.
Executive Director of PISLM, Calvin James. UNEP's task manager, Dr. Christopher Cox, noted that the findings and plans presented are important for tracking where investments can be made and creates the opportunity to track the impact of such investments. He emphasized the need for regional exchange of best practices, stating, open quote, "It is a good opportunity for networking," end of quote.
On behalf of UNEP, I just wanted to say and congratulate on the great effort that has been done. I mean, it's something that is really absolutely needed across the region. And certainly in terms of Dominica's agricultural transformation process is a foundational output that is absolutely necessary because it all has to do with, of course, how you commit your resources to plan for sustainable land management and sustainable agriculture. And what is great about what Annie has presented was the fact that it's important in terms of, you know, tracking where to invest resources and also important for tracking when you have made investments. From a project standpoint, that we're able to track the metrics and we have this GIS platform able to do so. So I'm very happy to see that. And indeed, the methodology I think would be ideal if we were to exchange best practices across the other Caribbean countries that we are doing work with other partners in land management. You know, so there's a good opportunity for networking as well.
UNEP's task manager, Dr. Christopher Cox. In other news, United States President Joe Biden urged the private sector to help ease supply chain blockages that are threatening to disrupt the American holiday season. Biden said on Wednesday the White House planned a nationwide overhaul of the clogged system. He said the Port of Los Angeles would join the Port of Long Beach, two of the country's busiest, in expanding round-the-clock operations to unload an estimated 500,000 containers waiting on cargo ships offshore. Walmart, Target, and other big retailers would also expand their overnight operations at the ports to try to meet delivery needs. Biden said it is, open quote, "a big first step," end of quote, to revamping supply chains in the U.S., the world's biggest consumer market, Biden said, adding the government would be heavily involved. Open quote, If federal support is needed, I'll direct all appropriate action. And if the private sector does not step up, we are going to call them out and ask them to act, end of quote, the president said in remarks at the White House. The broader goal, he said, is to address long-standing weaknesses in the U.S. supply chain. A New York City police officer is in custody after she allegedly shot two women, killing one at a home in Brooklyn. The officer, who was off duty at the time, is believed to have shot both women, one of whom she was dating, when they returned to the home where the officer's girlfriend lived. Police said the off-duty officer shot a 24-year-old woman in her chest, possibly more than one time, at the Bensonhurst home. The victim, identified as Jamie Liang, was taken to Maimonides Medical Center and was pronounced dead, police say. The other woman, a 23-year-old who was in the romantic relationship with the officer, was shot in the torso and is expected to survive, police state.
It certainly appears to be a love triangle, and sadly, a young woman is dead this morning. Police say at the hands of a very jealous off-duty police officer. The 19th Street here in Bensonhurst is still closed this morning. 19th Avenue, there is a very active police investigation. According to police this morning, that off-duty officer confessed to killing her ex-girlfriend's new partners. The streets remain closed. 31-year-old officer Yvonne Wu, a five-year veteran of the NYPD, was allegedly waiting in the bedroom of her 23-year-old ex-girlfriend's Bensonhurst home with her loaded service weapon. When, according to the police, the ex-girlfriend walked in with a new girlfriend, Wu shot both of them, killing 24-year-old Jamie Liang. The ex-girlfriend was shot in the torso, but she was able to call 911. It appears Wu calmly waited for police to arrive. Responders were unable to revive Liang, the new girlfriend, who was shot in the chest.
Patrol officers from the 6-2 precinct responded and were met by a female in front of the location, who told the officers that she shot someone and that person's inside the house.
That's the Prime Evening News. Here's a recap of our headlines. Justice and book author Dr. Irvin Andre notes the moral stand taken by now deceased first Dominica Prime Minister Patrick Roland John years after he was out of office. United States President Joe Biden urged the private sector to help ease supply chain blockages that are threatening to disrupt sales during the American holiday season. And an off-duty New York police officer is in custody after she allegedly shot two women, one of whom she was dating. She killed one when they returned to the home where the officer's girlfriend lived in Brooklyn. These are our headlines. The news brought to you compliments, Wise Limited.
Our news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.